you're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? And happy early of the week to you. Eddie Pascal and producer Trav here with a bonus-ode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. And we haven't done a bonus-ode in a while, but we had to this week because we've been trying for a while and we were finally able to link up with one of our good pals, a man who knows a lot more about the landscape of the desert than both Travis and myself, Fox 5's very own, one of their sports anchors, Vince Sapienza. So we're doing it just quick and dirty this week. We're going to have a quick interview. We're going to get out and we're going to see you guys on Thursday. So sit back, relax. And if you're in the Las Vegas Valley, please, for the love of God, grab an ice cold glass of water, maybe a Coors Light too, and sit in the AC and enjoy our conversation with our pal, Vince Sapienza. I gotta ask you, man, I'm dying, dude. When does this heat stop? Like, I've been pretty good since March, but this is the first week where I was like, oh, dude, I can't even go out of the house, man.
Well, that's kind of the, you know, if there is a silver lining of this quarantine, you don't have to go outside now, because for the last couple of days, I haven't had to step outside for more than 10 seconds to let the dogs out, run back in. But yeah, sadly to say that this heat is not going to go anywhere until hopefully when football kicks off, then it'll start to die down a little bit. But this is what you get in the desert, especially in Vegas. It's a dry heat, though. That's what they say. That's what they keep telling me after 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say. You say, oh, yeah, it's a dry heat, but now I got to get a humidifier because my skin's all dry. You know, there's so many things that go into this that you don't think about. But we're loving it. The wife and I have had, as much fun as you can, given the circumstances. But you said you've been here for, 4 years now? So, and we were talking just a second ago, when you came here, when you arrived in the Valley, the sports landscape here was completely different than what it looks like today.
Yeah, I want to say I'm the common denominator to all of it, but no one else will give me that credit. So, but yeah, when I got here, when I first signed my contract, the only thing that was here was Las Vegas 51s. And since then, they've changed their name to the Aviators. The Golden Knights have arrived and done what they've done. The Las Vegas Raiders are now here. The Henderson Silver Knights will be here in the fall. You've got the Aces. So you got the Las Vegas Lights, and it's become a booming sports town. And we keep talking about, all the locals, they can't believe that even now where we're at with our sports landscape, that it is what it is, but it only continues to grow. And now you have talks of the MLS wanting to come here. You'd have talks of Major League Baseball, the NBA. So I think all those are possibilities. And I think inevitably all of them probably will at some point show up here in the desert, because they've seen what a boom that the sports market here in Las Vegas can be. You look at the Golden Knights, who are in the top five in capacity in terms of crowds. They are actually over 100% capacity. That's top five in the NHL, I believe top three. And then you look at the Las Vegas Aviators with their brand new ballpark at the Las Vegas ballpark in Summerlin, and you look at how they outsold the Miami Marlins last season on a consistent basis in terms of fans. Now, I know it's apples and oranges with major and minor league baseball, but it just shows that just because the Golden Knights are here doesn't mean the Aviators can't do well. And then we can talk about, the Las Vegas Raiders sales and tickets. You can't get a ticket. The whole fan thing, we'll see what happens with that with the NFL, but you couldn't buy a ticket if you wanted to that week two Monday Night Football game as of now. So, the want is there. The desire is there. The fans are here. You talk about all these different people. They say Las Vegas is a transient town, and in some portion it is, but the locals here, whether they came from here or they're from here, they are now locals, and they wrap their arms fully around their new teams. And you can see that already with the Las Vegas Raiders, with the new license plates, with the stickers on the cars. I'm sure you've seen it in the short time you've been here in the Valley.
Yeah, dude, it's funny you bring up the license plates, because, obviously, like a lot of people right now, I don't really leave the house a whole heck of a lot. I go do my grocery shopping, whatever it is, once a week. But when we first got here in, I want to say the end of March, like maybe mid to late March, when we were driving through and we're getting everything settled, it blew my mind how many
Golden Knights, like placards there were in people's front yards, or you see the license plates covers, or, you know, the signs in the windows. And I was telling my wife, I was like, man, I wonder if that's kind of what we're destined for here. And then fast forward to middle of July now, and you see all the Raiders license plates, you see the flags that are flying. And it really does kind of speak to what you were saying, where this is a town of, at least from our early indications, that there's people from all over, right? But there's such a sense of community here. There's such a sense of pulling together. And I think that obviously the situation that we're all living in now has a little bit to do with that. But man, it has been so cool to see just the increase of silver and black running around the city. You know, you go and you see people at the grocery store and they get the Raiders masks on, the Raiders hats. Like, this town is ready for football. Now, will they get to see that football live and in person at Allegiant Stadium? I mean, if you and I knew the answers to those, we wouldn't be talking here today. But yeah. It has been really exciting to just see that energy and see that enthusiasm. And obviously that we hope that it carries over to football in whatever form or fashion we're playing it in 2020.
Yeah, you know, and it's one thing, you know, for me, who's lived here for 4 years, to kind of see the evolution and the growth. You know, when the Golden Knights, you know, were doing their thing and their license plates came out, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing any kind of Golden Knights thing. And once the announcement, you know, specifically, I would say within the last 6 to 7 months with the Raiders, towards the tail end of the season of them in Oakland this past year, and obviously up to now, I have visibly seen the growth and the memorabilia and the stickers and the bumper and all that good stuff. And what's funny is, you know, that's just my take. Alec Ingold, who I was able to catch up with, you know, maybe a couple months ago, he had just moved out here. He was kind of getting the lay of the land. And I asked, what's the one thing that's kind of, you know, your takeaway in your short time here? And he'd been here for about a month. He goes, I cannot believe how much Raiders stickers on cars and license plates and just going into shops and seeing Raiders merchandise is already here and people are already supporting it and already sporting it and buying it. And that was his biggest takeaway. And, you know, you guys obviously have that rich history in Oakland and understanding just how deep the fan base goes and how global it is. But for the players, especially the younger guys, to come into a completely new market and see that same effect and see that same impact, it was pretty cool to hear him talk about how he was even Raider Nation continues to surprise him even to this day.
Yeah, I think that one thing that I've thought a lot about probably the past like couple months since I've been here a little bit, and I've kind of got as good a feel for this place as you can, obviously not doing a whole lot, is that I think that these guys, I think like our players, I think Coach Gruden, I think they're going to be rock stars here, because by and large, this is kind of a small town. It has like that small town feel to mm-hmm. it. And you're going to run into guys at the grocery store. You're going to see guys out getting gas. And you didn't really have that in the Bay Area, because the Bay Area, it was so spread out. Guys live all around. I mean, you look mm-hmm. at where people are going to live now. There's one of two places they're going to live, right? They're either going to live in Henderson or they're yeah. going to live in Summerlin, right? And you're going to see them about. They're going to be very visible. And it's been really cool to kind of just have, it feels very old school in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I think when sports are at their best, and I'm sure it's one of the things that you love just like I do, is that when sports are at their best, it's a community thing, right? When the Raiders are winning, Vegas is going to win. I'm sure you've seen it with the Knights. When the Knights win, this place is on fire. And it's going to be cool to see how the players kind of react and grow with that, because I think it's going to be a lot different than it was in the Bay Area in that aspect in particular.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you made. You know, speaking just to kind of touch on with the Golden Knights, especially as it segues to the Raiders, you talk about community. This is obviously a big town from the outset. It's Las Vegas, it's the lights, it's the strip. But when you get here, as you see, you know, you don't even realize that the strip is in your backyard most of the time when you're just driving around going to the grocery store. And it's so much community. And I learned that in a big way, you know, obviously with 1 October. With the Golden Knights and, you know, that Vegas strong brand was kind of created out of 1 October. And as tragic as that was, the ability to see the community pour out and rally, and specifically as to the Golden Knights, I tell everybody, you know, that fans' first memory of the Golden Knights isn't a hockey game. It wasn't the draft expansion. Their first memory of the Golden Knights was seeing them unloading cases of water, donating blood shortly after 1 October. And that's their foundation. And that's their lasting memory forever. No matter win, lose, or draw, good season, bad season, Stanley Cup, or number one pick in the lottery, their first memory is going to be that expansion team going out in the community in a brand new market, didn't know anyone, didn't know the lay of the land, but giving back and showing what sports can do and what athletes can do and what how this community is bigger than just, you know, a town full of lights. And I say that and I bring that story up because I find it, and I don't mean to sound callous or anything, but it's a similar thing now, obviously not in the tragedy of 1 October, but with this quarantine, with the COVID crisis, with everything going on, the world has completely changed, not just in Las Vegas, but everywhere. And you're seeing the same thing with the Raiders. You're seeing Alec Ingold, Hunter Renfro, Foster Moreau giving back to Foursquare Food Bank. You're seeing Trent Brown give $20,000 so that CCSD can buy laptops so that kids can finish their schooling in social distance, by social distance learning. You're seeing, you know, Hunter Renfro become the Gatorade Fuel Up to Play 60 Nevada ambassador. You're seeing Mark Davis donate all this money to the COVID crisis. And they haven't even moved here. They don't even, most of them haven't even placed their residence here. They haven't even played it down here, but they're already feeling that community. And I think that's what people are going to remember most about these players and about this team. And I, you know, in my conversations with Mark Davis and Mark Bedane, that's at the forefront is the community, is making sure that they're doing their part. Being an NFL city isn't just about the wins and losses, as you guys know. It's about making an impact here at home. And what the Raiders have been able to do early on without even being able to get players in the building, I think has been a testament to the organization, to the brand as a whole, to the Davis family, to everybody top to bottom in the organization, and the players who just absolutely get it. It's one of those things, I don't think you can teach that. You know, the Golden Knights showed us that it's just what you do. It's not something that they have to, it's just something that you do. And I think the Raiders are showing that as well during these times of crisis and just social unrest going on in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that, like you said, you know, winning games is great. And I think obviously the ultimate goal for everyone that walks into that new beautiful building down near your house is going to be to hoist the Lombardi Trophy one day sooner than later. But as you said, man, wins and losses, you know, they come and go. But the fact that hopefully these players, the Hunter Renfros, the Trent Browns, the Mark Davises of the world, the stuff that they're going to be able to do now is going to far exceed whatever they're going to be able to do on the field. The impact of the either monetary donations or the donations of time or just, you know, meeting a kid virtually right now, giving a young guy kind of just a reason to smile when we're all kind of dealing with a really down time in our collective history. That's the stuff that people are going to remember, like you said. That's the stuff that's really important. And obviously, I want to be wearing a Super Bowl, you know, ring on my finger one day. But, you know, it's obviously that there's things that are more important than that, you know. And you brought up a great point that those are the things that people really are going to remember. And that's what's really going to kind of bind this team to this area. And it's definitely exciting to be a part of it. And Vince, you know, I don't like to talk too much football. I really don't. I pride myself. Travis and I go out of our way not to talk too much football. But we talk a little bit, right? And I'm looking at this roster the past 6 months and what Mike Mayock and John Gruden have really been able to do. And we talked so much that it really felt like there was a list at the end of last year. Call it January 1. There was a list that Mayock and Gruden had. They had things that they wanted to check off that list in between now and training camp. And by and large, they really have. And when I've looked at this team and I've looked at the kind of the state of the division and the state of how this team is going to go to the postseason, I really think that the biggest issue for this team headed into 2020 is not the roster, but it's that every other team in the AFC West got better and you still have to go through Pat Mahomes, the half a billionaire, and the Kansas City Chiefs to earn that playoff spot and win this division.
Yeah. So let's first talk Raiders before we talk big picture. I guess, you know, it's so funny with this move to Las Vegas. I feel like the national headlines and the national, you know, chatter isn't about this team taking the next step. It's about Las Vegas and the glitz and glamour and the new stadium and the new facilities and all that jazz. But what they've done with their roster, I mean, you talk about maybe maybe the best draft class in NFL history. Again, it's a short time, so, you know, we'll see in a couple of years. But you talk about maybe as a collective group, the best draft class ever in terms of immediate impact and just kind of top level potential from last year. You carry that over. You hope that, you know, another gear is reached by each of those guys. And then you look at the draft class that they brought in. I mean, the amount of weapons that this offense has, it's a no excuse offense now. There's no excuses. And you could put that, and I'm not putting that on Derek Carr. I'm not putting that on Josh Jacobs. I'm not putting that on the line. I'm putting it on that as a whole. There's no excuses for this offense because the amount of options is now limitless in terms of receivers, tight ends with Jason Witten. I don't know how many catches he's going to make. I don't think it really matters, because I think it's going to be more internal in terms of the young tight ends, Darren Waller and Foster Moreau, that those guys are going to be insane just because of the level of leadership and the level of football knowledge he's going to be able to bestow on that position. You look at Josh Jacobs, he's a top 10 running back already. You have, you know, one of the hungriest, youngest, my favorite fullback in the league, and Alec Ingold. The dude's just awesome on and off the field. But again, just from a raw potential, this offense, it's a no-excuse offense. Derek Carr can make all the throws. We know that. We've seen it. Now he has no excuses. You know, injuries are a part of the game. We'll see what happens out of training camp and once games get going, but it's a no-excuse offense. As far as defense, boy, I mean, talk about
a lot better than a year ago.
Talk about, you know, not being talked about, what they did on defense at the linebacker position. I mean, nobody is talking about those two monsters they just signed in free agency. Nevin Lawson, you know, I was able to talk to him last month, and he goes, "Vince, look, I know everybody's talking about the offense and all the speed and all that, but," he's like, "nobody's talking about the defense. We have now the two perfect linebackers for our defense, plus with Klee and Max just zooming off the edge." I really like what this team has done in terms of slowly putting together a roster that makes sense, that fits. Does that mean they're a 10, 11, 12 win team at this juncture? I'm not sure of that yet, especially when you look at the young team. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what they can do. They made some nice free agent pickups, especially with Melvin Gordon on offense and helping out Drew Locke there. And then you look at, you know, LA. They're kind of an unknown, but now veering to a younger type of team with Phillip Rivers gone. But as you said, Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs, I mean, that's a juggernaut. And they're going to be a juggernaut for a very, very, very long time. Mike Mayock and John Gruden have been very transparent, I think, in what they have to do, and that they have city, and they know that. And I think they got a heavy dose of that last season, specifically the game in Oakland. I remember that game, and that second quarter with Pat Mahomes throwing four TDs was,
It's a day that I've tried to forget, Vince. It's a 25 minutes that I've tried to take out of my mind. But yeah, dude, I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
But I just remember sitting in that press box, and I remember looking around like at everyone, like, how do you describe what that second quarter just was? That, and then obviously what he goes and does in the Super Bowl and all this stuff. That being said, he's still beatable. We've seen it. And it's not to say the Raiders are going to have an uphill battle. They probably are, but what they're doing is putting the pieces together for not just success for next year or a quick maybe 10-win, 11-win season. They're putting something together that's going to last. I mean, when you look at the players that they're putting into their roster, I mean, you're looking at 10-year fixture-type guys. When you look at the Abrams, when you look at the Clee Farrells, and you look at the Crosbys and Jacobs and Trent Browns, you know, things like, I mean, these are guys that are going to be here for a long time, that are going to be part of the team for a while. So if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm really excited, and I'm actually excited about the lack of chatter about the roster because I'd like to keep the focus more on Las Vegas and all that stuff, because when they come out of the gate, it's going to be something. It's going to be something special to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, a wise man once told me years and years ago, he said that the teams that people are talking about a lot in terms of their roster moves and things like that in April and May aren't usually the ones that end up winning games in November, December. So if we want to go under the radar, if no one wants to talk about us until week eight, when we're 6-2, that's fine by me, man. That's, like you said, though, it's a good time to be a Raiders fan. It's an exciting time to be a Raiders fan for so many reasons. The roster, the new city, the new stadium, the new practice facility, everything that we're going to do in 2020 and going forward, there's going to be like that line in the sand. There's going to be the before Vegas era and then the Vegas and after era. And, you know, all of us here internally are really excited. We can't wait to get to work. Obviously, how we get to work in 2020 is still kind of up in the air, just as all of us are kind of up in the air for how this the next 6 months or whatever checks out. But it's going to be very, very exciting. So I wanted to ask you, though, Vince, how have things changed for you since coronavirus decided to take over our collective everything?
Yeah, you know, since the NHL pause on March 12th, I've been working from home, as most of my colleagues have over at Fox 5. We're slowly trying to get back into the station. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know, moving forward, especially with what the NFL decides with the NFL preseason. Obviously, Fox 5 is the broadcast home of the Raiders, and we'll be showing the preseason games if and when they do get played.
Tremendous plug, station. By the way. Just tremendous.
Got to get it in. Company man, Eddie. Company man.
Hey, preaching the choir there.
So we'll see how that goes. But it's going to be interesting. You know, the Golden Knights have opened up training camp, and I think, you know, obviously it's apples and oranges with the NHL and the NFL, but it's also social distancing with the NHL, no in-person interviews. So I don't foresee that being any different with the NFL, to be honest, especially with the sheer volume of players that the NFL has compared to the NHL or even the NBA. I mean, you're dealing with a large roster of players, plus the coaching staff, plus just the you know, the athletic trainers and the equipment guys and all that stuff that make NFL teams. So I think we're in this for the long haul, and I hate to say that, and I, you know, 3.5 months ago I was like, you know, I think football season will be fine and we'll get back to normal, but I think this is our new normal for the time being. And, you know, like many things, things will become normal. Things that are not normal will become normal. And I think we're kind of seeing that a little bit. I feel like every Monday my inbox gets filled with, you know, press releases full of positive confirmed cases for sports athletes and things like that. The NFL, I think they're doing things the right way at this point. Now, that's not to say they haven't really done much of anything, because, but in terms of, you know, the OTAs with the Zoom meetings, you know, players, the Raiders that I've talked to, they responded really well to it. They actually enjoyed it because it made them focus a little bit more and dial in. And they actually had to, what was funny is when I was talking to a couple of the guys, they said, you know, now when we're on these Zoom calls, we have to stop talking so we can hear the other person and we have to listen. We can't just talk over each other and just kind of go through the motion. So that was kind of an interesting thing. But I don't know, Eddie. I mean, part of me is saying, you know, we got to keep this going until we're, you know, kind of in the clear. But at the same point, it's like, come on, let's just get us out there. Come on.
It's hard, man. It's a hard, I am not envious of any of the people in charge who have to make these kinds of decisions of what's okay, what's not okay. I mean, because you're picking between a bunch of really unideal options. There's no good option that you can throw out right now, unfortunately. So I'm,
there's no winning right now. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's definitely no winning. No one's going home real proud of themselves on a Tuesday afternoon after any of this, which is unfortunate. But hey, Vince, before we get you out of here, I want to ask, man, because I'm curious, and everyone has a different answer. What's the coolest thing you got in your little home office right now? Because we've all had to build one out, right? We've all had to build out a little mini set. So yeah. Hit me with the creme de la creme.
Well, I actually just got this piece. This is
Oh, okay.
The Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, Las Vegas Raiders edition bobblehead sent to me by the proud people over at FOCO. So appreciate them. But I think you can see it. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I would say, a small portion of the bobblehead collection. Okay. Most of the bobbleheads are at the station where I have not been for 4 months. So the people that are there, I always have to text them, make sure they're checking up on them, make sure they're okay, make sure they're not collecting too much dust.
Well, hey, Vince, man, we appreciate you so much. We appreciate you coming to hang out with us on a Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and hopefully we can link up, grab an adult beverage at some point when the world returns to normal. So we thank you for your time, my brother.
Eddie, Travis, appreciate you guys. Hope to see you soon. Stay safe.
And a big shout out to our guy, Vince, man. Very, very kind of him to take a few minutes on what is a busy day for him. It's a work day for him. It's a work day for all of us, but especially for our guys and gals that are covering the news right now. Very, very busy time. So we appreciate Vince's time so, so immensely. And that's it. We're out of here. We will see you guys on Thursday. Correct, producer Trav? Normal programming this week?
Yes.
All right. So for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great Vince Sapienza, engineer Jim, and everyone else who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And just a reminder, stay safe, stay healthy, Raider Nation. Please, please, please wear your masks and wash those hands. And we will catch you guys on Thursday for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.